אנחנו מטילים מצור מוחלט על העיר עזה. אין חשמל, אין מזון, אין מים, אין דלק. הכל סגור. אנחנו נלחמים בחיות אדם ואנחנו נוהגים בהתאם.
Good. Welcome to a brand new episode of No More Heroes. I'm your host, Andy Malafrina. I almost got into Drag the Lake. With me, as always, is fucking no one. Welcome. As you may see, I've titled this episode, this is No More Heroes number zero, Grand Reopening. What is that about? Well, let me try to tell you, and I'll try to keep it short and sweet, because keeping that short and sweet kind of coincides with why I'm doing a Grand Reopening. Basically, I'm just switching up the format a little bit, kind of approaching it differently. It's not going to seem super different to you guys. You're just going to be like, yeah, it's just fucking Andy talking in front of a camera, which that's, you know, it's going to generally be that. I just, with the sort of all over the place mismatch format of the show, I wasn't completely happy with it. I've been spending the past year or so with this show sort of finding its voice, finding what I want it to be, and I think I've hit that mentally, and going forward I just want to do clean slate. Let's start over. Let's have a grand reopening. We got new management, new management. I've read a few more self-help books. The brain is less crazy. Still fucking crazy. Still, you know, talking in front of a microphone, thinking I'm going to change the world. But fuck it, man. You got to be a little bit delusional to fix things. But yeah, so basically I'm going to get rid of the old episodes, or I already son of a gun. I don't want anyone to fucking snatch those up and try to ruin me and let the world know I'm a dingus. I used to be. It's a new Andy, guys. But yeah, I'm going to scrap the old episodes. I'm going to keep the interviews because I am actually super proud of those interviews with Robbie Bernstein, with Clint Russell, with Radix, with Jose from the No Way Jose podcast. And I think that's where they stop. Actually, I do want to do a new interview with Jibs, the Dungeon Master himself. We did D&D recently, which, spoiler alert, one of the, for Panties in the Mouth D&D. You know, who listens to this that doesn't listen to panties? Anyway, we did a D&D. The had a little whoopsie-daisy. Might be audio only, but so look out for that. But we were playing it, and I was just amazed with Jibs' ability to be a dungeon master. So this is going to be a pretty like current events politics podcast, but you know, we always got time for a new fucking interview. So yeah, new format, just keeping it more current events, a little more straightforward, because that when in this context, that's what I have the most fun doing. And I like to have a clean, straightforward pod. So it's easy for me to prepare and it's easy for you guys to fucking get in on it. The podcast will be dropping every Wednesday. That's also another thing. I'm not going to be doing the live streams anymore. Maybe when I get into it's hard to get. I can get into a routine where we drop the episode the same day every week, but the way I record and stuff with these kind of topics, like with Drag the Lake and Panties, well, Panties we have to do at the same time every week. Drag the Lake, we kind of have to do at the same time. And we got into a good routine with that stuff. It's music. It's a little low pressure. But for how I am with this stuff, I gotta have the flexibility to record whenever. So we will not be doing live streams right now. Eventually, maybe. But right now, no more live streams. Just record ahead of time. Wednesday morning, you'll be able to get the audio. Wednesday night, we'll be premiering the show. And then I also will, when certain things happen that are very time sensitive, and I really want to get it out right as it's happening, there will be bonus content on the YouTube channel, and I will remind you guys of that with the podcast. All right, enough of that, enough of this bullshit. Let's get into some topics, and I think with a good grand reopening, let's talk about one of the most complicated topics ever, Israel-Palestine. No, we're not going to get, I'll be straight up, we're not going to get overly deep into it, because I would probably say today, since the attack happened, over my entire life, since the attack happened, wait, what am I trying to say? I should say the amount of reading and listening and just consuming knowledge on the topic, it's been pretty much the most I've done in since fucking Saturday or whenever the attack happened. Because before that, it was all just peripheral passive shit here and there. But I was always just, this was before I was like real locked in on, oh, I love doing this political shit. I used to, for the longest time, it's like, you know, oh, you're a fucking dork if you care about politics, if you give a shit. And now I'm like, yeah, you are, but I don't care. I enjoy being that. not all the time. Sometimes you just stare in the mirror and you're like, I wish I wasn't this man. But, you know, other days I'm like, let's read about horrible atrocities committed by our government. That seems like a good fucking day. Should I go take my wife out to dinner? Nah, let's read about the CIA. but no, oh, that's actually another reason why I'm like going into this new format full steam is I just accepted I love this shit. You know what I mean? Because definitely for the longest time, you get a lot of people being like, you give a fuck about politics, you know, and sometimes it gets to you. But I got to be honest, this shit, like doing jokes, doing comedy, talking about music gets me hyped up. But this shit, bro, I didn't realize how fucking bananas geopolitics is. It's fucking insane. It's crazy because you know what it really was? For the longest time, I didn't feel like I was ready to approach. It's like the more you learn, you open up one door and then you open up that door and you're like, all right, this is the last room. And then you start to realize there's about six more doors in that room. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. And now I think I've opened enough doors that I have a proper, I still got a lot of things to learn. We always got a lot of things to learn, but now I can sort of come at here with a perspective that I feel substantially more comfortable talking about these issues. And cause I was always going, and this will get me back to Israel and stuff. And I was always going down these routes where I go like, I kept thinking I was hitting the ceiling, and then there's one more, like changing my door analogy to like a fucking elevator or going upstairs or whatever. I always thought I was hitting a ceiling, and then I'd be like, wait a minute, and then bust through and be like, oh, there's a little bit more. And yeah, just always searching for like where, like how far does this actually go? Where does this all actually go? And I'm starting to realize this Israel, this is actually what kind of set me off with this Israel thing and what kind of got me like really engaged on this one, because I'm starting to realize, because like I said, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a fucking expert on the Israel-Palestine thing, but I am noticing a lot of things with this where I just go, there's something more than just this, you know what I mean? There's something more than just, yeah, these dudes are just beefing. These dudes are just beefing. You know what I mean? We go back in the day. Palestines were just vibing out. And then, you know, let's not get too deep into it, because I was watching a doc today. It was very interesting. But, you know, it's just basically been since what? The 1940s, Israel and Palestine been going back and forth like, yo, this is our shit. They're like, I don't think so. I think this is our shit. They're like, that's crazy, because this is our shit. And it's just been kind of that for a while. And then it's like, maybe this is your shit, but you guys kind of overreacted now. So like, we're not trying to get the fuck out of here. And it's just been a lot of that since like the fucking early 40s and shit. And it's all overly comp. But then the thing I'm noticing with learning about all this stuff, the thing that gets me the most intrigued in this is, so like, the more I learn about this stuff, you know, whether you go deep into it and you think, oh, everything's controlled by Satanists and stuff like that, or you go down the other route and you're like, oh, we're just a prison planet for aliens harvesting our souls. Like, whether you go that deep or you just go, I don't think they're telling us the whole story. either one of those, you know, you see enough of this stuff, you learn enough about CIA coups, you learn enough about, hey, we're doing this, just kidding, we're doing that, you know what I mean? You see some guy on CNN standing in front of a burning building being like, it's mostly peaceful out here, and shit like that. You see enough of that shit to go like, they're not telling me the whole thing. There's a bigger thing going on. And I got to be perfectly honest. I don't know what it is. I know you get a lot of people going down these routes and they kind of have some, you know, less than fun theories and stuff like that. But the Israel thing has got me intrigued because there's clearly a bigger thing. There's clearly a bigger thing going on. And I think it's my job to get to the bottom of it. And also, because I think that'll be just my life's work, is to figure it out and then not be labeled an anti-Semite. Because you can go, I think that's a thing that'll fucking throw good men off kilter. You know what I mean? It's, you know what it is? The benefit of me is I'm a stubborn man. I'm a stubborn man, and I won't settle. You know, in my search, I won't just settle for like, this is just how they are. You know what I mean? No, I know too much to know it's more than just that. You know what I mean? I've met too many. It's like when you hear old school racism about black people, like the shit that they tried to do to justify slavery and all this other stuff. I forget the exact wording, but it was probably some like, you know, calling them savage animals or whatever. What does that sound like, by the way? we're the good guys. Also, those dudes are animals. Anyway. You guys, read the news and get these jokes. But you know what I'm saying? They'd say that about black people back in the day. Reference them, you know, use terms to make them seem less than human or whatever. And there's just something in their DNA that makes them this way. And you're like, well, just on pure anecdotal research, I've met enough black people to know they're different from person to person. You know what I mean? I've met plenty of black people that if you close their eyes, you wouldn't necessarily assume it was a black person. I've met plenty of black people, you close their eyes, you'd be like, oh, that must be a racist character from a 90s movie. You know what I mean? You meet enough people that you're just like, oh, just your skin color doesn't just preset, or your ethnicity or whatever, any of that shit doesn't just preset you to it. So I'm smarter than that. I'm not going around the route to just be like, these J's just be J-ing it up. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that guy. But there is something going on, because it's very interesting with the Israel-Palestine thing where, you know what it is? It's the way people get mobilized. It's the way people get mobilized. I was listening to a thing. I don't normally listen to his pod, but Scott Horton was on it today. Which, sidebar, I was tweeting out, wanted to talk to someone about. I wanted to talk to someone about. I didn't get a drink today. God damn it. I was talking to someone about, or I was tweeting out saying I wanted to get someone to talk about Israel and Palestine and stuff like that. And then someone tagged Scott Horton in it, and it'd be like, dog. You don't think I would be getting Scott Horton on if I could? It's not a matter of not wanting him on or not knowing he would be able to talk. It's like, oh, you really think a person in the libertarian space doesn't know about Scott Horton? Anyway, but yeah, and then I was just like, dude, I'd love, which Scott, if you're listening or anyone else who knows you, I'd be honored to have you on. I honestly don't know what I'd ask him because I listen to his podcast to learn about stuff. I'd just be like, what do you want to talk about? I don't know what I'd ask him. Then someone's just like, I don't like Scott Horton. He mesmerizes libertarians. And he kept saying that Scott says half-truths, which I'm not smart enough to know if he does that or not. I don't think he does. I think Scott has a pretty good track record. I don't believe he does that. I'm going to confidently say he probably doesn't fucking do that. But the other thing he said, he just goes, he's doing socialist propaganda, which Scott, are we talking about the same Scott Horton? It's really weird. Like, that's a very interesting part about people where you're just like, how did we watch the same guy? And I've listened to countless hours of Scott Horton. I've listened to countless hours of Scott Horton, and I don't pick up on the socialist propaganda. But either way, But yeah, I was listening to Scott. I was listening to Scott Horton on Elijah Schaefer. Yeah, Elijah Schaefer's podcast. Don't normally listen to it, but Scott was on. So, and dude, if you see Scott Horton guesting on a pod and it's about an hour to an hour and a half long, you're gonna want to listen to that because he's gonna get into whatever the current conflict is and he's gonna get deep about it and stuff like that. So yeah, and then they were talking and they brought up this like tweet from Laura Loomer, which a lot of people get beef with Laura Loomer, or they have beef with Laura Loomer. But I generally speaking, I'm not, I think sometimes her delivery method is can be a little bit like, ugh. I should clarify what means. No, she can just be a little bit boomer cringe, but that's whatever. We're in the fucking political space. That's most of it. But I generally like vibe out with Laura Loomer. I thought she was on, where was she? She was on Patrick Bet David. She was on Patrick Bet Date. No, she was on Timcast. That's right. She was on Timcast recently. She was fucking, doing it up. Had a really good appearance, fucking coming at this dude pretty hard. It was a good time, but then they were reading a tweet from her. And, you know, you see pretty reasonable, like with this Israel-Palestine thing, you see pretty reasonable people coming out and just having these opinions where they're like, yo, give the win. You know, I'm not going to put this on. I was about to say, you know what they really want to say? I'm not going to be that guy. But, you know, you feel it like they kind of want to come at, they kind of want to go to scorch earth, and they're not too far from it, but they pull back a little bit and they're like, all right, give the women and children, 48 hours to get out of there, and then flatten that shit. You saw a lot of people saying flatten that shit, you know, where, and I guess, and it was just, I was hearing this tweet and the way she was talking about these, the way she was going on about, Palestine and now I will say this. I'm not like defending Hamas. I think that's a little bit of a straw man people are having where they're like, if you're defending Hamas's attacks right now, you may have lost the plot. And you're like, I don't know if that's a person. I don't know if that was a person this week. I don't remember. And I saw a lot of opinions over the first couple days of this week. I don't remember seeing a lot of people being like, you know, it's okay that Hamas killed all the 1,000+ of those people. I don't remember seeing that. Might not have been my timeline though. Those people might be on your timeline. Maybe you need to figure out your timeline, because I have a pretty crazy timeline and they ain't on my timeline. what was I saying? What was I trying to say? I got lost down the fucking Hamas. Oh yeah, I'm not trying to, like, you know, don't confuse this as like defending Hamas, but you know, just with these. That's what I was trying to get at. Where you see a lot of these topics people talk about, and people are gonna approach them with like, my apologies, guys. I lose the core thing, and I just need to get back to it. No, and I saw a lot of people getting mad at like the Hamas thing. It reminds me of this one time. If you guys are aware of wrestling, there was this one wrestler named Eddie Guerrero. I'm sure most people know who Eddie Guerrero is, but Eddie Guerrero was like the dopest wrestler, and he was one of those wrestlers who died young. In wrestling terms, I guess he wasn't like young, but he was young for wrestler. You know what I mean? Most of those dudes go out pretty rough, but they still actually make it to old age, more or less. But no, he went out early, and you know, everyone loved him. And it wasn't one of those things where, like, just because he died early, you know, people are like, he fucking ruled. No, he like legitimately ruled. He was one of the best wrestlers to ever do it. And I remember there was this screenshot of this tweet where someone replied to someone else's tweet. No one could find the actual original tweet. It was just a screenshot of this tweet. Someone was like, Eddie Guerrero was a mid-carder. And it like got through all of wrestling. Everyone was like, now, everyone was coming at it. Dude, it even got to like higher up in WWE, people being like coming at. And but the thing was, is they were like coming at the concept. They weren't coming at the actual. No one was even coming at the specific tweet. They were like, if you think and it just was catching steam, and people were like, if you think Eddie Guerrero was a mid-carder, and it's like, no one really thought that. You know, you might have found like one psychopath. Or it's like they found one psychopath doing that, but I think you're arguing against a pretend person. And that's how I felt when people were kind of being like, if you're defending Hamas right now, because that's like the biggest, and that kind of like heightens what I've been seeing, where you see a lot of these people, you know, you see a lot of these people who are good at having nuance. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen a lot of pods Laura Loomer's on. And I'm not trying to just single out Laura Loomer. It's a bunch of people. She's just the one person that comes to my head. But it's like, I've seen a lot of people like this on these podcasts, and they're very good at having nuance, and they're very good. But it's like, you know, when you see stuff like this happening, the way that, and it's a lot of people, you know, I guess for me now, like I was saying before, I'm not sitting here pretending like I'm the deepest into this topic. I'm just coming off as an outsider looking in, who's, you know, new on garnering info on this topic. I'm saying that when this stuff happens, when it comes to Israel, people, it's one of those things where it's like, you can't put your finger on it, but you're like, your energy's different now. You know what I mean? Your energy's different. You know, I saw some libertarian dude. I forget his name, but it's one of those guys. Oh, Liam something. There's a lot of dudes in the libertarian Twitter space that just have good opinions and good tweets, and you just end up following them, and you forget why you followed them. You're just like, oh shit, because you don't have enough libertarians in your real life, so you need to get fake friends on Twitter. but yeah, I followed this one dude, and he was pointing out about how like, Dave Rubin blocked him because this guy didn't have a pro Israel opinion. And that, to me, I'm not even a huge Dave Rubin fan. I used to watch him a lot. I used to watch his show, more of his clips, not like full episodes, but I used to watch clips from his show a lot. And just like seeing that blocking over a difference of opinion, I was like, that seems out of character. So I guess that's the thing I'm just like noticing with a lot of this stuff. And I know it's illegal to notice anymore, but I can't help it. I can't help it. Daddy's got to dance. I've just been noticing that it. You know, you see a lot of people who they're big dealers in the nuance market, and then when the Israel topic comes up, it just gets out the window. You know, that shit's out the window. And it's not just like, oh, we have to deal with these people. No, it has to be like flatten it, you know, get rid of them all because, you know, the lack of nuance is important to this because, you know, you see all this stuff. Now, I know enough in the government's blowing things up department that when you say, you know, take care of it, and you're like, oh, no, we just mean take care of these Hamas terrorists, which you're like, yeah, theoretically, that would be ideal. But whenever governments partake in this, they just indiscriminately fucking bomb shit. And they bomb buildings. They either go off bolt like Obama. Like, I saw a tweet today. I didn't know this. I could have guesstimated something like this in the ballpark, but I didn't know these specific numbers because apparently I think with like targeted strikes or whatever the fucking term was, Obama killed like 26,000 people and 90% of them were civilian casualties. So it's like, that's how they deal with a problem. It's like if you saw a bug on your dresser, so you took a sledgehammer to the dresser and you're like, what? I killed the bug. And you're like, yeah, but we don't have a dresser anymore. And that, you know, that dresser was in actuality a baby or a 15-year-old boy or something, like, you know what I mean? It's like, and actually speaking of 15-year-old boys, I saw another statistic that apparently 50% of Palestine's population at the Gaza Strip is like 50% of it is like under the age of 15 or something like that. It's children. So it's like, yeah, we know, you know, when you have Israel's defense minister being like, you know, being like, oh, they're animals or whatever he said specifically, calling them savage animals. You're like, Yeah, I don't think he's going to be super exact in taking out Hamas. You know, if some of these terrorists get taken out, all right, chill. But I think they're going to be very sloppy, to put kindly. I think they're going to be very sloppy with the bombing, to put kindly. So, you know, that's where the nuance is important, where you're like, okay, you have this pretend scenario in your head where the country gets flattened and only the bad guys get flattened, but let's apply that to real life. You know, we'll go back to Iraq where it's like, oh, there's a terrorist maybe in that hotel. Let's throw a cluster bomb or whatever type of bombs they have. Let's throw a bomb at that. And then it's like, oh, shit, the terrorist wasn't in that. And we also killed like 40 families. So, yeah, I'm very intrigued on the Israel topic. I'm very intrigued on what it does to people, how it makes them kind of go a little bit silly. A little bit silly, and yeah, and it's very interesting. I'm very curious to see how this plays out because I saw a lot of interesting stuff. How do I say this where the YouTube censors don't hear me? Reminded me of some storming of some certain buildings, not specifically. That one was way worse. That one had way more casualties. No, this one just, you know how you hear these world events happen and then later it comes out that like they were beyond preventable. You know what I mean? Like they were like, how could we have predicted 9/11? Also, there was like the cover of this one fucking book for this one department that specialized in preventing terrorist attacks. It was like a picture of a plane hitting a building or like a site on a building. You know what I mean? It was like, how could we have predicted this? Except, you know, we were predicting it. And we also had a bunch of red flags and stuff like that. Or it's like, you guys get what I'm getting at. I'm trying to dance around. I'm posting this to YouTube. I'm trying to dance around it, but you guys get what I'm getting at. So it was like, there was all this other shit where they were like, oh, it's a surprise attack. But apparently Egypt was like a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago was like, yo, I think Hamas is going to do this. Cause apparently the attack Hamas was doing, like, you don't just, like, dude, they were fucking paragliding it and shit like that. It was, like, coordinated. They knew. I think they were targeting that. I think they were targeting that. I gotta read into more of this shit. But it's a lot's happening right now. So I'm going to be guesstimating a lot of this shit. But it's like, I think they were targeting the fucking festival. It's like, and they were parachuting in and all this shit. Like, you don't just fucking, you know. They had to plan this, and it's like, you know, you see with after this happens and then Israel's first response is to like shut off all the water and shut off all the electricity and all this stuff. So it's like, seems like you guys got a good old control over Palestine. Seems like you got a decent control over Palestine if you're able to immediately shut off everything that keeps them alive. Oh, and then that's a funny element to it too, where like Israel has the right to defend, which, oh, that to me, as a man who's semi new to this topic, that to me, Israel has a right to defend itself. That's another straw man. You know what I mean? It's not like, what do you mean? I don't know. It's just peculiar. I don't, maybe I'm not explaining it right. It's just peculiar when you overstate something like that. Like, Israel has a right to defend it. It's like, yeah, everyone has a right to defend itself. Why are you saying this? You know what I mean? It's like if you were just hanging out and someone was like, I'm not a pedophile. And you're like, no one was talking about that. You know, it's like, I thought it was understood. You know, it's that thing when it's like, doth protest too much. When it's like, are you guys defending yourself? Because, like, the group you're defending from, it seems like you have control over everything they do. And then when they attack you, now, granted, they killed a shitload of people and all that shit. But, like, it seems like, you know, very quickly, they just blew up so much of Palestine. So it seems like you're pretty good at defending yourself. It seems like you're really fucking good at defending yourself, dude. But I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, it just, something stinks. Something smells a little funky about this. Now, I don't know. I don't have the info, so I'm not going to make a hard assumption. But, you know, it's like you can see the next couple steps where it's like they're trying to blame it on Iran. They've been wanting to fuck over Iran for a while. You know, they've been trying to find, everyone in our government is cucked up to fucking Israel. So, you know, you could see they've done shit like this before where it's like you do a false flag to make some other bullshit happen and stuff like that. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying, you know, it pops into your head when you see stuff, because apparently Israel's like has some of the best cybersecurity firms and stuff like that in there. And they have, like, we gave them the Iron Dome, but, you know, these Hamas dudes fucking paragliding in can miss the Iron Dome or whatever the fuck it is. And, you know, it's just a bunch of weird, interesting shit where Israel is apparently traditionally known for, like being good on security, generally speaking, but, like, these little Hamas guys, you know, because, you know, these Hamas dudes, like, make it through. And if you look at it, like, if Israel wanted to do some of the shit they wanted to do, this would be a great excuse, you know? I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it makes you curious. Oh, and the last thing I wanted to talk about, I don't know. I go into topics like this a little hesitant, but it is another thing that was, you know, I'm gonna shoot my shot because I think the odds are ever in my favor. And this is another thing to point out while this is happening, because during the fog of war, we saw it a lot. We saw it a lot during Iraq. You've seen it a lot in history. These moments right now are the rocky times when people can get in a tizzy very easily, and it's good to remind people of. From former guest of the show, Radix Virum. How do I bring up? It's not letting me bring it up. Here we go. Let's read through this just as a quick little reminder. Wait, let's move it around so this fucking thing is nice and big and looking good as hell for you guys. But let's read through this. Radix, if you guys don't know, had her on the pod a while ago talking about the Gretchen Whitmore kidnapping plot. Great fucking episode. She does great work on that. Go check it out. But yeah, in October 1990, a 15-year-old Kuwaiti girl gave chilling testimony to the Congressional Human Rights Caucus, recounting atrocities committed by Iraq soldiers. This was widely credited with helping propel the U.S. into the first Gulf War. She testified babies were being ripped from incubators and left to die on the cold floor. Her claims were eventually exposed to be lies, refuted by contradictory evidence exposing the motives behind the propaganda. But at the time she testified, her testimony was corroborated by Amnesty International as well as evacuees from Kuwait. It turns out she wasn't just some regular Kuwaiti girl. She was the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to the U.S. Her testimony was orchestrated by a big public relations firm, Hill and Knowlton, on behalf of a group called Citizens for a Free Kuwait. The PR firm was paid as much as $12 million by the Kuwaitis for the campaign, which, sidebar, that always wigs me out when they're like, when they mention the number they got paid to fucking ruin the world, to like help perpetually ruin the fucking world. You're just like, oh, just $12 million. God damn. That's such a small amount considering the outcome. I mentioned this because I'm surprised to see independent media not being more skeptical in the age of deep fakes, high tech propaganda, and psyops about claims and videos that are dropping all over social media, many of them not sourced. Some footage shared recently online was actually old footage from years ago that people shared uncritically. I caution people to remain critical, to try to properly vet and source information, not allow yourself to be manipulated. Yeah, and I think that's a good thing to think about, you know, and I'm a little hesitant to bring this up because if I'm wrong, it's gonna make me feel like a fucking, I don't know. I'm gonna feel bad if I'm wrong because then it actually happened. But I pray to God I'm right because then. So you saw the thing going around where they're talking about like, what was it like? You know, they were going through the one town. I forget the name of the town, but they're going through the one town. They saw like they found like 40 decapitated babies. And that, like, you know, and watching the video, we'll bring up the, you know, let's bring up the video. Because watching the video, actually, I feel like if I bring up the video, I'll get flagged. But it's not fun talking about this stuff. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. It was like the actual Israeli Twitter account. They posted this lady doing a report. I don't know what the news station was, but yeah, she was like doing the report. She's talking about how they like came through the town and, you know, they were taking out the families and they were like, shooting the families. And she just like throws in like, oh, they cut off 40 babies' heads. And it was just like one of those things that it just popped out. And you're like, this just, you know, when you see, like I heard Alex Jones say this before, and I thought this was like a decent insight where, and I think it's actually part of the reason he got a little effed up on SH. And, you know, and that's why too, I'm like being open-minded to be like, I'm just saying, I don't have any proof that this didn't happen. I'm saying it feels like other shit, but that's where Alex Jones admitted. He's like, that's where I got all fucked up on SH because this, you know, when you see certain things, now I don't mean to compare this to SH. That one was a big, 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 big fuck up by Alex Jones. But I'm just saying there's like, you know, referencing back to, oh, what Alex Jones was saying. He's like, I've just seen these like false flags and these psyops and stuff like that enough times that I don't even need proof for the next one that's happening. You can just see all the pieces of it. So like when I saw this, it just, you're like 40 and they went through the house and were doing all the destruction. They shot everyone, but for like the babies, you know what I mean? It had real babies in incubators vibe. So that's just my two cents. Once again, I'll fucking apologize if I'm wrong. I'm just saying, you know, you see a lot of this stuff and it would like, you know, it would make like, it would, if you look at it, it would make sense to kind of throw that out there just because, you know, especially too, if you're trying to convince people they're savage animals, that's a good way to do it. I'm not just sitting here being like, oh, they're definitely lying. That's definitely a psyop because that's where you get fucked up and you owe a bunch of people money. I'm just saying from past experience, this smells a little funky in a similar way, but we'll let it play out and see. For the sake of babies, I pray to God I'm right, but we live in a cruel, cruel world, so that may have actually happened, but you know. I'm just saying there's been examples upon examples before. I always love to go back to fucking Operation Northwood. Our government got together and was like, yo, what if we killed some American citizens and said Cuba did it so we could go invade Cuba? You know, I'm just saying they've done some funky shit to get into a war. They love getting into fucking wars. You know, I wouldn't put it past them is what I'm trying to say. But for the sake of fairness and not getting sued in my YouTube channel, it could have fucking happened. I don't fucking know. I don't have proof. I'm just going based off previous shit. But anyway, that's kind of like my general take on what's going on right now. I'm definitely going to get a little bit. This shit's very interesting. Oh, and that was the other part. It's like, it's starting to feel like, Israel is in the center of a lot of certain things, not everything, but a lot of certain things. Cause I am always intrigued. I was like, why Israel specifically? Cause there's a lot of places that a lot of horrible shit's going on. And the US is just like, what? I don't know what's going on over there, you know, but Israel specifically, we got to get into that. So it's always very interesting. We'll talk about it more as I learn more and this stuff keeps developing. I wanted to hop into this real quick because I saw this. This has been a topic that's been very intriguing to me. I saw this online the other day, and the general consensus I was noticing in the comments on this. I didn't see a lot of people from my sphere of influence talking about this. So it was another reason why I was like, oh, cool. You know, because a lot of times if I see some of the big dogs talk about some of the shit, there's almost a part of me I was like, well, they already talked about it and they already had all the like solid opinions. So I might as well find my own unique thing to talk about because, you know, why just say the same thing for the 15th time? But no, I didn't see a lot of people in my camp talking about this, but we, you know, a lot of people talk. This is basically about, what's the show? Unheard. I don't know who this guy is. I forget who this guy is, but yeah, it's from the Unheard show, and they're talking about the migrant crisis. And yeah, this guy's kind of like, the fuck you worried about? Let's just hop into it. So that out of, you know what, I'm going to let him, as the title said, I'm going to let him cook a little bit longer. But it's just like out of the gate this is what, first off, let this motherfucker cook. And I'm like, I'll be the judge of that. And then I watch this clip. And at the mention of, well, first off, he starts off by, it's like, oh, let's talk about this current topic today. And he's like, all right, so thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago. And you're like, you know, hundreds of years ago when society was substantially different, it was structured, it was completely, you know, things were completely different. So that was the first interesting direction to take it. But whatever, I'm only 30 seconds into a clip. I'm not going to be judge, jury, and executioner already. But then this other guy, so watch this. This is the sign of a really good opinion, is when someone brings up the conversation, watch what he immediately does. So just heavy into it. And as a man who's participated in name calling, I try my best, especially the more I get into this stuff, I try my best to not dip my toes into that apartment, that department. But yeah, a man who's well versed in name calling, the quickest sign that you might be, I don't even know what the fucking word is, but it's just like right out of the gate, like that level of, like that level of name calling and shit like that. And I'm not sitting here like, oh my God, how could you possibly? I'm just saying it's like, hey, dog, we're trying to have a fucking conversation. We're trying to have a fucking conversation about the issues. And, you know, because I guess this is what annoys me about these this attitude is because it is actually up for debate. Like the migrant and the immigration problem and immigration crisis, or not even immigration, because he kind of goes into that a little bit more. I'm not even mad about immigration. It's just like with the migrant crisis, there is actually a bit more of a debate. So like that part of it irritates me with the immediate like name calling and stuff like that about people who disagree with him. Is it shows me he's not approaching this conversation in the best possible way, because it's like, if you're a reasonable person, if you're a reasonable person on this topic, it would be like, yo, I understand your concerns, but let me explain to you why you actually don't need to be concerned. And he's not approaching this in a reasonable way at all, because it is a very nuanced conversation. And I personally don't think that's in question, but I could be wrong. And that's how you approach these conversations, my friend. See, like right there, like very ashamed of her. Like that's not, you know what I mean? That's a disingenuous strategy to, like, before any opinions have really been thrown out, just feel bad about yourself. You should feel bad. You know, you're playing off emotions before you've given out any real facts on the matter. Yeah, so, yeah, and then he does the thing, he does like a similar thing that people do with the reparations argument now, when it comes to reparations, I think cosmically, you know, technically there is something owed to you because, you know, as a result of these decisions by governments and stuff, it did erode your rights. You know, they did take away your rights and your ancestors' rights and stuff like that. But the solution to that is not, hey, you guy who had no part in this, you look like people who had part in this back in the day, so give us some, you know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like, you know, people you've never met hurt people they've never met, so now you owe that guy money? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. In my opinion, the only real solution to reparations is just, like, because it's the government who did it, it's still technically the same government, so they just have to, what they did was they violated your rights, so they just have to stop violating your rights. You know, that to me is the only logical solution and manageable solution and shit like that. But yeah, he's bringing up, he does this thing. I don't know if anyone really states it this way, but this is how I notice these things, all these kind of conversations when, you know, cause people try to do this with a lot of topics to avoid a real argument and just try to get you to shut the fuck up. Cause they'll be like, well, people that looked like you or people were saying are your ancestors and shit like that, they did this shit to these people's ancestors. So like, this is just you getting your cosmic comeuppance, and you're like, you know, that to me is just like, you're categorizing us into these arbitrary groups. You know, what did I do? You know what I mean? What did I do? What did these people do? So it's like, you know, it's like in the context of the Europeans, it's like, what did they do? Well, they have their community there, and they have these people who are coming in that are not originally from their community. So shouldn't the people who have the already established community have a say in the people that come in? You know what I mean? It's just like, people get all up in arms. It's weird, man. People get all up in arms about this with like certain groups, but you know, for a lot of people, there's a real general consensus when it comes to gentrification. You know what I mean? Like for me, it's not a simple issue of like who's right and who's wrong and stuff like that. But from the perspective of like, you know, because does gentrification only apply to like white people coming into black neighborhoods? Is that like, that's how I understand the term. I don't know if it's broader, if there's like a broader context to it. But either way, like with gentrification, it's like, you know, it is a complex issue. But also at the same time, I completely sympathize with black people who grew up in a certain neighborhood that was a certain type of way and they enjoyed it like that. And now there's just a different type of people with a different type of way of being. And you're just like, ah, this was just like, my neighborhood was kind of just like this my whole life. And now it's completely different. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing when you've been somewhere for fucking ever to just, you know, pick up a new, you know, you're, it's fair for you to be fucking annoyed. You know, how many videos are there online? How many videos are there online where it'll be, apologies, I forgot to get a beverage and it's hard. I don't usually get this long without a beverage. Give me props. But no, it's like, how many videos have I been seeing online? You'll get these like American, these like annoying American Twitch streamers. They'll go to Asian countries and Asian countries do not put, I've heard stuff about this, but I haven't seen it this fucking clear. But I didn't realize Asian countries do not put up with tomfoolery the way we do. They do not put up with tomfoolery. You know, so you have these Asian countries who have a very specific culture. And when Americans come in and goof around too hard, they get fucked up and they get thrown in jail. And a lot of people just sit back and go like, yeah, well, that's their culture. You know, but it's something when it's like, you know, you just have a bunch of people like coming in. And let's be real, dude. It's... You know, you see these stuff about, I've been seeing these things about, like, especially at our border, where, you know, there was something about people getting brought up in trains or getting, like, bussed in or whatever the fuck. You know, don't quote me on these super hard or specific, but I was hearing some stuff about, like, you know, there was some shit where you're like, you know, you're coming from, like, a lot of countries. It's not just people coming from Mexico. Like, you're coming from a lot of countries away. And you got no money and, but you got these train tickets to get here. I don't know. It's a lot of weird shit. And then you'll see stuff where like the Texas government will put up certain things and then the federal government will come down and take them down. The federal government will guide like these migrants to a certain area that's easier to get into, you know, and there's a lot, you see the thing in Italy where like, it was like one weekend. What was it like? 5,000? I forget the exact number, but it was like that one weekend in this like small Italian village of like 7,000 people. Like it was somewhere between like 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 of these, I believe, African migrants just got dropped off or some shit like that. You know, it's all, you know, bringing it back to the earlier conversation, which, you know, I haven't dug deep into these, but I was seeing some people talk about like there were, you know, it was that follow the money. And you're like, why do some of these go back to Israel? But that's for a conversation when I do some more research on it. That was just some headlines I saw. I'm not going to put my flag into just headlines. But either way, the point I'm trying to make is I think it's fair to say that a lot of these, the way that these migrants are coming in don't completely feel natural. And I will also say a lot of the way these migrants are coming in, there's certain areas where it's like I do sympathize with them. And this goes back to the point I was saying earlier of why it's actually like a really, it's not just like, oh, you're just being a racist. You're like, no, it's a complex conversation because, you know, there is the part of me that's like, I like America. You know, we're not doing the best on American values because there's so many people that are siding with bullshit, commie bullshit, or that are siding with commie bullshit. But generally speaking, like America, in America, we have a pretty solid vibe, you know? And I think it's fair to be like, well, are we bringing in a lot of people that don't catch the vibe? You know, cause I like the American vibe. Let's not fuck up the American vibe. But wait, what was the point I was trying to make? Oh yeah, but I still it's fair. You know, the same way that everyone can sympathize with people who have to deal with gentrification. You know what I mean? There was a certain vibe that you liked, and now your vibe is fucked up. But also at the same time, I can sympathize with the people trying to want a better life or the people that are coming from, like, their town got blown up. It's a very complex issue. So it's like, I can understand both sides of the coin. But at the end, it's like, I get that you need a place to go. But at the end of the day, if this is your spot, you're allowed to protect your spot and have your and keep your spot the way we all vibe out on. So yeah, that's the other part of it where it's like, if someone's telling you there's an easy solution to this, there is fucking not. But I think it's very similar. To me, it's very similar to the homeless crisis, where you go, I feel really bad for homeless people. But you guys can't be fucking sleeping in my neighborhood. Not in my fucking neighborhood, dude. No way, dude. No way. That fucking sucks ass. You don't got a house and you got that drug addiction, but you guys ain't hanging out here. You know, we can figure something out, but it ain't here, dude. And that's why I've watched this already. The next part of this video is very disingenuous to me. Yeah, so he's saying basically, like, poor economic conditions, you're mad, and you're just mad, and you're diverting it to foreigners, which, you know, kind of putting people into a binary, not giving them a little bit of nuance. You can be mad at multiple things. But then, yeah. All right, that might not have been 100%. Wait. Okay, that wasn't 100% what I thought he was. Because I've heard a lot of people, or maybe there was a different clip, but either way, there was like another clip where he was kind of getting at, like, he was kind of getting at, like, you know, a lot of people do this where, like, immigrants are great, da da da, this and that. And you're like, it's not about immigrants, you know. And even the person who is the most, like, verbally or online, the tucker jobs, it's like, dude, if some fucking Spanish dude moved into your neighborhood and just had a dope ass business and was a chill dude and killing it, like, you know, you ain't getting fucking mad about that shit. It's the shit where, you know, it's the shit, and this is a tough conversation to have. It's uncomfortable. I know a lot of people don't like it, but sometimes, like, it's, you know, let me put it in the terms earlier so it doesn't come off as harsh, but it's like, we got a certain vibe in the U.S., and if you're coming over, or just in general, anywhere, it's like I was saying before, it's like, you know, Let's look at it in a less uncomfortable context, but like in fucking Japan, you know, Americans go over there, they're goofing off, they're acting up, they're not abiding by the vibe in Japan. Japan will fuck you up, you know. So it's the same thing in America. Like, we have a certain vibe, and, you know, if you get a lot of these people, and also, by the way, they are, like, you see some of the video from the border. I've heard a lot of reporters talk about how it is from the border. It's not just a little trickle. It's like there's times where it's like flooding the fuck in. You know what I mean? And, you know, it can be a real strain on the fucking system and all this other shit. And it's just like, you don't have anywhere for them to really go. It's just, it's a lot of people at fucking once. And then that, you know, this can just create a lot of strife in this fucking country where, you know, people have been in this country for fucking ever and they're used to one type of thing. And then if you just have this completely different culture come in and just completely fucking shift it around, it can create a lot of this resentment, the same way that a black person, if they grew up in a dope spot of Brooklyn, now they walk around, there's a lot of like foo-foo bullshit around there. It's like, you're going to get a lot of resentment. You're going to have more hatred than you should to a certain type of person. And I'm just saying, generally speaking, it's going to be bad for a lot of people. The best thing you can do for these countries is, you know, put forth policies, or honestly, back the fuck off with all your fucking policies. Just let people take advantage of free markets and stuff like that, and let the economic situation grow and build and get better. And, you know, because you can't just fix everything by just giving people shit. You know, come here, you know, be a strain on the taxpayer, do all, you can't just fucking, it's not going to be good for anyone. It's gonna make the taxpayer resentful, and then you're going to have too many people for these public services, so it's going to strain the public. It's just, it's not going to be good for anyone. So rather than making it bad for everyone, you know, let's do things as a country that raise up economic situations. We'll be a fucking, what do they call it? Like a house on the hill or a city on the hill or whatever. People go, you know, because we're in an internet age. You're going to see people being like, yo, why the fuck are we not like America? They're fucking killing it. And naturally, because here's the thing about a lot of these like fucked up governments and stuff like that. they want to do fucked up shit, but they need their people happy to a degree, or docile, to be probably a little bit more accurate. They need their people docile. So even in the worst situations, you're going to have to provide some sort of economic prosperity to help people out so they don't fucking try to kill you. So yeah, that's like my thing is like, rather than make it horrible for everyone, how about we have the one group who's fucking killing it, and then people can look to them to be like, oh, that's what we should do. You know, feel like that's what America was like for a while, but not so much now. Put up with too much commie bullshit. All right. Hope you like that. This is the new age. This is the new age of No More Heroes. Gonna be a better pod going forth. I had a lot of fun on this one. I hope you guys liked it. All right. See you next Wednesday. I love you all. Be about a peace.